Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and order scenes and footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme, but I'm quite unsingable. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. And we have the Tuesday morning roundtable. We should get to the prepper tip of the week, of the day. Excuse me. Be kind to those who got the clot shot. They have maybe 3 to 5 years to live at the most. Maybe they'll survive, maybe they won't, but just be kind to them. They frequently did this out of ignorance, or they were coerced into doing so. All right, we have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have Jeff Nyquist, his website, jrnyquist.blog, his books for sale at Amazon. And we have back, after taking care of a number of family issues, Steve Ben-Noon. His website is israelinewslive.org. Good morning, Steve, and good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. Hodges may or may not join us. I haven't got word from him yet, looks like he's unavailable right now. Well, we had breaking news. Steve, you got this before same time, but I didn't know about it until this morning, about an hour ago, the news of Todd Callender's investigation into the oath of office for the president, the vice president, and the cabinet. Jeff, I forwarded this information to you about 35, 40 minutes ago, so I don't know if you've had time to digest any of it or not, but we spent most of the first hour discussing this. So, Steve, I'll start with you first, because Jeff is kind of the new kid on the block for this information. I really caught off guard by this information, Steve, and resolution is going to be, if it proves to be accurate, which it looks like it will prove to be accurate, resolution is going to be difficult and unprecedented, won't it, Steve?
It will be, and I got about 5 minutes, and then I'll be back in about 15 minutes, John. But let me just say this on that, though. I know that Biden, the powers that be that kind of run those things, had tried to get him to resign already earlier this year. And they said they wanted him to resign on medical grounds. He refused to do it. And when he refused to do it, of course, I was told that all the cards are on the table now on getting him out of office. And I don't really know why they wanted to do that. No one could really seem to suggest that. But I was told that you could expect some very interesting things coming up to try to move him out of office there. And that may be one reason why that information has been able to surface. I have a feeling that someone has actually shared that information out there.
We have another issue. Kamala Harris is not a natural-born citizen. At least one of her parents was not a citizen, which means she is a dual national, could have a passport from another country if she chose to. A natural-born citizen has to be born in this country and have two American parents. Otherwise, they're a dual national. So that's an issue. That's another issue, isn't it, Steve?
It is, John. And of course, to top that one off is, everyone, the advisors are saying that she's just not presidential material.
No. I wouldn't have her as vice president, as principal of a junior high school, quite frankly. it's amazing. Jeff, I know this information came to you less than an hour ago, so it kind of caught you off guard, but do you have an initial impression, Jeff?
Well, there were discussions behind the scenes of people who were working for Trump before Trump assumed office, that the way to change out a lot of the staff of the permanent government, the bureaucracy in Washington, and to get certain people in the Justice Department out and the Pentagon out and other agencies was to use the oath of office to basically go after them legally, and to say, basically, you have violated your oath of office because you have followed policies that are basically against that oath.
Well, and that's a true statement. That's a true statement, Jeff, on one hand. On the other, that's not the issue on the table. Mm-hmm. The issue on the table is the following. There's two parts to an oath of office. One is the swearing in, which is typically videotaped, where they put their hand on the Bible and they swear an oath of office. The second part, which is not optional, is the legal document that has to be signed and notarized by this individual who's taken this oath of office. That's the controversy there. Apparently, these documents were never signed and notarized. That's the issue, Jeff.
Well, when I was in graduate school in the late 80s at the University of California, anyone who taught, and this goes back to laws that were passed in the 1950s during the McCarthy era, anyone who taught at the university had to swear an oath of allegiance and, of course, sign documents affirming their loyalty to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California.
Right.
And what was very interesting was that when I confronted some of my Marxist colleagues about how could you have taken that oath, they said, oh, the oath is a joke. It doesn't matter. This is what they told me. Because that was basically a confession that they knew that they were violating their oath. They knew that it,
yes, sir.
They didn't believe in the Constitution.
Yes, sir.
Because they were Marxists, right? So that is a more important issue probably than some technical issue. Oh, we forgot to sign on the dotted line. But what's very interesting is why is there no evidence that they took the oath of office? Is it because they don't want to be held accountable later on for what they're intending to do?
Yes, sir. In fact, you're touching on the same thing I mentioned the first hour. I look at it as a possible defense in a criminal matter. I look at it as a defective defense. But I can't think of another reason why they would not sign their oath of office document and have it notarized and be part of the National Archives. That's the only reason I can think of, which is basically the same thing you just came up with, Jeff.
Well, there's a phrase, and if you've ever looked, military officers take this oath too.
Right.
To defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if they are domestic enemy or they're helping a foreign enemy, it becomes a crime if they take certain actions, of course, as you know, and they've sworn that oath. They have done something which is, you know, can be called treason, right?
Right. Well, I've been part of hundreds, many hundreds, maybe more than 1,000 criminal matters professionally, and I look at it as a defective defense strategy. I really do. Whether you've properly documented your oath of office or not, I don't see how that changes your committing treason under color of law. When that term under color of law means you really weren't the person that you claimed to be, but you held yourself out as that person under color of law. Would that be somewhat accurate, do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, because you have actually, whether or not you took the oath, you took up the office, which means you can't take up the office without having taken that oath. So you have to assume that you did it, but it's very strange. You see, they don't like the oath.
No.
They don't want to swear that oath because they're against the Constitution. Overthrowing the Constitution is one of their objectives. And unlike university, you know, people who are teaching at the university, they can't overthrow the Constitution at a university. But you see, if you're in the government and your intention is to govern unconstitutionally, you have a problem. You do have a problem.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, first of all, Steve Benoon will join us after the first break. But while we have a call on hold here, we got Eric in New York. Morning, Eric.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I do consider myself a little bit of an expert on this oath of office thing. Let me give you a couple of points. 15, I believe last time I looked, it was 15 states have what's called a public officer's law. Here in New York State, it's called the New York State Public Officer's Law, and under section, under which in multiple chapters, chapter 10, 11, 20, and 30, the oath of office is required, and in most cases, a bond is also required, which they fail to usually, in most cases, they fail to take out a bond, which is basically an insurance policy against any mistakes or intentional corruption they may commit. So most of them don't have the bond. Many don't have the oath. None of the New York State troopers have an oath of office. Most of the higher-level judges do. The lower-level judges do not. Now, why is this important? Under Section 30.1.H of the New York State Public Officers Law, the title of this subsection is, quote, creation of vacancies. And it specifically says, should any public officer fail to file their oath of office, there, within 30 days of commencement of their term, whether they're elected or appointed, that their office is deemed vacant if they fail to file that. So there's a provision that disqualifies them and eliminates their ability to be a public officer if they don't file that oath of office within 30 days of the beginning of their term. So that creation of vacancy is absolutely a great legal defense. We used it in Allegheny County, in a town called Andover, for Wayne Mosier, a gentleman who had multiple code violations. It was specious garbage. He lived up on a hill in the middle of nowhere. He had a little bit of junk in his yard, like everybody who lives in the country, you know, out in the countryside. And the neighbors complained because they didn't like him, and they wanted to fine him $250 a day for a year and a half. It came out to like $80,000. And we brought up the fact that the judge did not have an oath of office refiled. He had gone 2 years without filing an oath of office for his second term. Every time you get reelected, you have to refile that oath of office. And because that judge, James Ames, failed to file his oath of office, we got him on the creation of vacancy. He had to recuse himself from the case. Don't you know they gave us another judge in another town, same problem, no oath of office. The state finally had to dismiss the case. And we saved this guy like $100,000, and I helped him represent himself. It was quite simple to do.
Good for you.
So anyway, and now listen, the oath of office is a contract between whoever is taking that oath and, quote, we the people. We have a little campaign, and there's a post on this up at courtroomwatch.com called Acceptance of Oath, and you write to take the copy of the oath of office, if there is one, and you write across the front, I, John Moore, standing on God's creation without the United States in all caps, hereby accept your oath to support the Constitution. Now you and I have a personal binding contract in fact, honor, value, and consideration. Those are legal terms. They'll know what it means. You're formally completing the circuit and accepting the contract, which is the oath. And then if they break the oath to support the Constitution, they're in breach of the contract that they entered into by taking that oath. That's why many times they don't want to take the oath, because they're entering into a contract with the people, right, which they're right. Desperately trying to avoid.
Well, you've come to the same conclusion that Jeff and I have there, Eric. Thank you. Yeah. Well, that's
you.
A good explanation, Eric. We do thank you for your call. We'll move on. Thank you, sir. Jeff and Lynn, I've been a notary public for half a century. Up until, and I have to renew my commission every 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. Up until recently, I had to take an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. For some reason, and I haven't looked into it, maybe I should, that was dropped about 6 or 8 years ago, whenever it was. So it's in Missouri, every office holder, I believe, still has to. Every elected office in Missouri, those office holders have to, and they're swearing any, they swear an oath to the Constitution of the United States and to the Missouri. I don't know how many states do that, but Jeff, I believe all 50 states should do that. What do you think, sir?
I think it is required, and if it was required for school teachers, not school teachers, university teachers in California. Of course, that was specifically a constitutional loyalty oath. But it's required of military officers.
The officer's office is slightly different than the enlisted. The officers include a oath to the president, where the enlisted does not include an oath to the president. And Leon, you were an officer in U.S. Navy. Do you recall your oath of office?
Yes, I've said it three times. And matter of fact, I'm going to go back, and I don't recall what you're saying with the president. I had to do an addendum for the president, but I also had a notary, and I was also a legal officer. So all three of those things apply to me. But I'm gonna see if it is still there, and I don't have my my oath of office personally. You know, it's in storage, but I'm going to see if the presidential
slightly different than the enlisted. I'm not sure how much difference that makes, but that's my recollection without having the documentation in front of me. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the call number is 512-248-8252. We're going to be coming back to this topic, Jeff. We're not going to let it lie. But, Jeff, do you have any updates on what's going on with People's Republic of China and Taiwan, sir?
Well, only that China is engaged in the biggest military buildup in the history of the world right now. And we've heard that directly from the General Laura Richardson of Southern Command has said this publicly, that they know that this is the biggest military buildup anybody's ever seen.
Now, I can think of two reasons to do that. One is the obvious reason is they're preparing for World War III. The other one would be for internal social economic reasons to have this buildup. And what's your take on it, Jeff, if you would like to speculate on why they're doing this?
Well, I mean, there's multiple sources from different communist countries that have come to me over the last 2 years that after the pandemic broke out in 2020, China wanted to prepare for World War III. And this is when you started to see in Chinese military papers in April of 2020 that they were, get ready, we're going to go to war. And then Xi Jinping started saying it to military outfits, we are going to be going to war, so get ready, it's not a joke. So they've been telling their own people that. They've been telling their allies they're going to war with us. And, you know, we're pushing Russia to, in the autumn of 2020, to agree to go to war as an ally of theirs. So, you know, they're preparing for a war. And of course, Russia's involvement in Ukraine has merely derailed that for now.
So the Russian involvement in Ukraine has postponed their target date to go to war. Is that your opinion?
Well, they expected they're going to go to war with Russia at their side. And
right.
And Russia can't, you know, Russia's involved in Ukraine until they get through Ukraine. They can't give their full might to support Russia's effort against the U.S. and Japan in the Pacific.
So China, as large as they are, with the world's largest standing army, I believe, doesn't want a two-front war. Is that somewhat accurate?
Well, I mean, they want the war against the U.S. and Japan. They don't want the war to involve Europe.
Okay.
As well. And
All
they
right.
need the, they need Russia to be fully committed to helping them. Not
right.
to be absorbed in Europe.
Right. All right. So once the Ukraine matter is resolved to the satisfaction of the Chinese Communist General Staff, then we should look for them to move forward with World War III. Is that somewhat accurate, sir?
Well, that at least was their concept, you know, over the last couple of years. But that could change.
Obviously, it's a fluid situation. We have a break. Stephen Dinn will be joining us after the break. The call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you meet it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back. My website is thelibertyman.com. The Liberated Rocket Heater, a wood-burning stove that makes no smoke, is on sale the rest of this month until midnight the 29th, Saturday the 29th, for $500 off. This is your chance to be warm, be cozy, and save money next winter. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have Leon Green, a former U.S. Navy officer. We have Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His books are for sale at Amazon. And Steve Bannoun, his website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. And Steve, I got a note from you. You want to stay on China for a little bit here. Tell us what you got on China, sir.
Well, the thing is as far as China, there, this is like Jeff has said too. You know, this has been going on preparing. They've been preparing for war with the U.S. for quite some time. And the way that, it's really a big mess the way it's going to come out. But what they're doing right now, even with the issue with Taiwan, is they're waiting for us to get more bogged down with Russia in the European theater, which they know that once we started supplying more weapons, tanks from Germany, et cetera, that this would ultimately drag us deeper into the conflict. And, of course, we have to man the Abrams. We have to supply the people, because there's no way, and I'm sure Leon could probably verify this better than I could, but or yourself, John, that that you can really train all the aspects on the Abrams tanks to the Ukrainians in a short period of time and be effective on the battlefield. You mentioned the Leopards, et cetera. And from what they're looking at right now is that they had anticipated sometime around October to November that we would see Russia then respond based on what we've sent in there, and they're expecting Russia to respond against Germany. Initially, it was thought it'd be England, but it'd be Germany. China is waiting for that from the intel that's been intercepted on there as far as going into Taiwan. And, of course, they're trying to take Taiwan down really without a fight. And, gosh, John, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been speaking about that before it even hit mainstream media, that they would do that. And at one point, we were beginning to already move our assets out. Not officially, as far as publicly, but he had already told the CEOs of the corporations over in Taiwan, they had 2 years to relocate their assets. Now, even, and I know, John, you do the EMP shield yourself. Right. And the folks over there have been able to corroborate that, because they said they're getting companies from Taiwan that are starting, already broke ground and near their facility, or in that area, I should say, on moving their assets out. So there's, you know, there's some corroboration on that, that is happening. And then you have to go back and look at the part where I did a couple of news pieces a couple of years back when China was unchallenged on the port in Haifa for the contract, and then they began to dictate whether or not we could have warplanes on deck when we come into the Haifa port. That didn't go over so well. And then, of course, Ashkelon was coming up, and China was not being challenged on that either. And so I did the news on it, and I'm like, something is wrong here. And one of the friends I have in Israeli intelligence contacted me and said, don't be bashing China. They're going to be the next world super or the next world's military power. And then to kind of lock that down this year, a couple of months ago, I was being told that when we got down with Rush, the powers that be that are trying to bring about their new world order have already been discussing that they would have Russia after the fact. Hesitant to believe. I know that relationship, but I also know Russia, you know, because of the Orthodox Church, there's a lot of distrust as well. But it wouldn't be militarily, though. They were saying that China had agreed to cooperate to really enforce sanctions after a war with us to try to bring Russia, you know, back under control.
Hold on, so, Jeff, Leon, and Steve, hold on. We got a break for it, guys.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American-made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Over 9 gigabytes of information there. In the COVID section alone, more than 200 articles and videos by world-class scientists and doctors to help you understand the true nature of what I personally regard as the worst crime in recorded human history, to kill off tens of millions of people worldwide, especially the West and Europe, with these COVID clot shots. And, of course, the energy cleaner. I talk about it a lot because it's my home business. When you place your order, I personally box it up. I take it to the little country post office at Cherryville, Missouri, where they have an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet for $13 every Friday night. I ship it out priority mail. and you get it typically about 2 to 3 days later. Details at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order right there or call my toll-free hour line. It's 800-592-9543. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, who just forwarded me his oath of office. And we have Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, before we move on, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button beneath every article or video.
Very simple. Very simple. And we have Steve Benoon. His website's IsraeliNewsLive.org. Steve, you were explaining this matter of before the break. Are you ready for a call? Do you want to continue where you were left off, sir? Steve? Hello, Steve. Hello, Steve. Steve, you're on mute.
How about now?
I hear you. Do you want to continue where you left off or take a caller?
Well, I'll listen in for a few minutes here, and then we'll just pick back up as time permits, because I don't know. I think my signal is okay, so I'll just, but I have time,
you're on,
so I can listen in.
Are you on Interstate 70?
I think that's the one, John. I think you're right. 70,
yeah, that's usually right. Usually pretty good reception there. Our caller is Dan in Florida. Good morning, Dan.
Hi. I had a question for Jeff about Eisenhower's farewell address on the military-industrial complex and how that was kind of taken out of context and kind of propagandized. Because I think he was warning about, you know, similar issues we're having like with AI and the pharmaceutical industry, but it was more to strike a balance. But a lot of the left kind of weaponized that and, you know, propagandized it, and his thoughts on that.
Yeah, there's a historian of the Cold War, John Lewis Gaddis, who wrote a book called The Long Peace that came out when a lot of documents from the Eisenhower administration were released, and he sort of created context for understanding that statement. And it's been a lot of years since I read the book, but my takeaway from it was that there was a committee called the Gaither Committee. Now, Rowan Gaither never served on it because he was too ill. But it was people like, generals and scientific, military science and engineering people that were on this commission. And the reason that it was formed was because of the advent of Sputnik and the advent of the hydrogen bomb. They knew that ballistic missile weapons with hydrogen bomb warheads were coming. And they needed some kind of study to be done about what had to be done to protect the country. How were we going to cope with a world in which nuclear ballistic missiles were the main weapon of the future? And you can go to your library. I read it on microfiche. The Gaither Report is available in most research libraries. It's not very long report, but it says things in it like when we have these missiles, we have to put them in silos. We have to have bombers that are kept airborne so they don't get caught on the ground by missile attacks, because missiles are so fast moving. You know, they could go from 30 minutes from Russia to America, and if you don't have those bombers in the air, they could be caught on the ground. So in order to maintain a credible nuclear deterrent in this future world, but the more disturbing aspects of the report was that much greater resources had to be committed to civil defense and to educating people about our enemy, the communism, and so that people understood that sacrifices needed to be made for future generations to survive in an environment where the communists had nuclear weapons aimed at us. And Eisenhower did not, he accepted that nuclear missiles were going to go into silos, and he accepted that bombers might need to be in the air all the time. But he was violently against this idea of educating the public to our enemy, which is a kind of interesting thing. And he said that would be fascist education. This is what we fought in Germany. He didn't like this bringing ideology into defense, anti-communist ideology in defense. And he was not a friend of Joseph McCarthy, by the way. The president was not. President Eisenhower was not. He was really a liberal in many respects. And he had a brother who was sympathetic to socialism. Some people said he was a socialist. So Eisenhower did not like much of this report. In fact, he told John Foster Dulles that his idea, and Dulles agreed, of winning the Cold War, let's see if this sounds familiar, is that we would live better than they would, and they would collapse. Communism would collapse when their people saw that they would want the life that we had. So there's how you get Nixon in the kitchen debate that he had with Khrushchev when Vice President Nixon went to Moscow. You know, there's an American kitchen here. Look at how great this is. This is how we're going to live. And you know, it's, and behind the scenes, what I understand from defectors is that they had contempt for this, that the Americans were going to live more hedonistically and win, because no country in the history of the world ever defeated its enemy by living better than their enemy. It's the side that takes on the hardship, that makes the sacrifices, that wins. So anyway, that's just my comment on the Gaither
report. Okay.
And
outstanding. Well said, Jeff. Any follow-up there, Dan, before we move on?
No, I wanted Jeff to comment because I think it's definitely been, it's not a long speech, it's only 4 pages, but it's definitely been weaponized, I think, if you read any history book.
Yeah, they've turned it into saying there's a conspiracy of generals and so on to you know, overthrow the Constitution, or that they're dangerous. Eisenhower was basically warning that, you know, that this kind of advice from the military and the defense community, from scientists about nuclear war, was dangerous in itself, that we needed not to go down this road of, and in fact, presidential candidate John F. Kennedy criticized Eisenhower for not having created civil defense. And it was one of John F. Kennedy's commitments, was to have civil defense. And actually, I think Kennedy perhaps scored many points with the public in running against Nixon by making these points, because I think the public wanted to be defended.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, Dan. We appreciate it. We got open lines. You want to give us a call at 512-248-8252. All right. Steve, you're with us. Do you have any updates for us, Steve, on the things you're looking into?
Well, one thing I think we should mention, staying on China just a little bit longer, this was something I've not shared with you guys as of yet, is we've been discussing the AI technology that China is using. I mean, everybody already knows Elon Musk, whether people like him or don't like him, he's always warning about AI and the dangers of AI. Well, we got into that discussion not too long ago about the capabilities of AI. And, of course, yes, it is a very real risk for any government that uses it. And, of course, we know Putin said whoever controls AI will control the world. But China does not have any oversight, and we don't have a whole lot ourselves. But China has pretty much zero oversight on their AI technology in the military. And what some of the brass are concerned about on our side in that regards there is that, knowing that AI does have the capability to basically outsmart those that are controlling it and decide who really becomes the enemy and who's not, that a war with China could become very, very frightening very rapidly when their system begins to really get engaged with what's happening on the ground. And of course, like some of the things that we've ran into with the AI technology is, especially with the soldiers that we have, is that they don't always differentiate between friend and foe 100% accurately. And so, you know, that's been one of the hurdles they've been trying to overcome. But they said, imagine with China, China's not going to care, period. When they come through, for example, is their AI is not going to say, oh, well, that's military combatant. This one over here is a civilian that's just kind of like in the middle of the the arena, and then the next thing you know, well, everybody's going to die then as a result of the way their technology is. So that's something I just wanted to throw in there because of the fact that we are, you know, headed very obviously towards war with China. And I have been given a message as of late yesterday that the Chinese have quite a few troops now down in Panama, but still not a formidable force. And, of course, I said to the individual that said that to me, I said it's because the Chinese, I said it's formidable enough, I said because the Chinese have already made alliances with the cartel for the manpower, not to mention all the ones that they're bringing into the country for a subversion of the nation closer to the end of this year, from what I've been told.
All right. All right. Jeff, you got any follow-up to Steve's comments before we take our next caller?
No. No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Let's take our next caller. Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
Hello.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, you were mentioning about Eisenhower. His brother, that's Milton Eisenhower. He had over 100 communist fronts to his name. He wasn't merely a socialist. He was a fellow traveler of communist party. That's the same ditto with Eleanor Roosevelt. She had 100 communist fronts to her name. Remember about FDR. Who was his man in the White House? Harry the Hop Hopkins, who reported everything that went right directly to Joe Stalin. FDR and Churchill were afraid to talk in the White House because of Harry Hopkins. They knew who he was and who he reported to. That's typical of the New Deal Democrats, like Harry Truman appointing Assistant Secretary of Defense Anna Rosenberg of the New Masses. Now, she was an out-and-out communist. They said, oh, it's a different Anna Rosenberg. Oh. So I thought I'd correct you on Eisenhower, Milton Eisenhower, Ike's brother. They weren't what they appear to be. The FDR wasn't what... Guess who the first head of the UN was that created the UN? Alger Hiss. The first Secretary General, really, of the United Nations was Alger Hiss. That's what I wanted to communicate to you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Milton was not a socialist, quote-unquote.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, gentlemen, Steve, you weren't with us when as Jeff was talking about the military buildup in China. Now, Jeff, that includes a draft. They're drafting men. Are they drafting women also, do you know, Jeff, for the buildup?
In China?
In China, yes, sir.
They don't. China's military doesn't use women in combat, but
right.
They have women like many militaries that do other things, like, you know,
the medical corps is the best use for women in
they
any.
They probably military. Have right. them in some other areas, clerical areas too.
Right. So you don't know if they're drafting women or not. Would that be your response, sir?
No, I don't. I don't know how the Chinese draft works in terms of women. I don't think. I would guess that women are only voluntary.
Right. Yes, I'm not aware of any major army or even any army that intentionally places women in harm's way. Do you, Jeff, know of any military on the planet that intentionally puts women in harm's way in combat?
Well... not offhand, no.
No, I don't either. Let's take a call here, gentlemen. We got Mark in Tennessee. Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. This is geared more towards Mr. Steve Bannon. about, like, your, I guess, maybe analysis or information that Russia is going to invade Germany. I've called in about on this 2 weeks ago and probably a year and a half ago, mentioning that there is some Bible prophecy from Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club. It's not a dream. It's from their, I guess, new interpretations, possibly, of Bible revelations being fulfilled and all this other stuff. And it is that Russia will...
Hold on, Mark. We'll get back to your comment after the break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tuesday Morning Roundtable with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon, and Steve Ben-Noon. His website is israelinewslive.org. And Charlie in Florida, please continue. I'm assuming Mark in Tennessee, please continue with your comment, sir.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so just to give some clarification, this is not recent. I bought this DVD from the Prophecy Club back in either 2007 or 2008. And it's possible that the DVD was actually made, his presentation and his research was made a year or two even before that. So this is quite a while before anybody was thinking about Ukraine. This is even before the 2014 Crimea disaster. But what Stan Johnson and his team kind of came up with was that Russia would swing down, invade, go through Germany, and actually invade France, and that they would actually go to the gates of Paris, the Russian army would go to the gates of Paris, where they could sweep through and continue. However, they end up stopping at the gates of Paris and said, okay, there's enough bloodshed. We're going to call a peace treaty. And they sign a treaty with the Antichrist. Basically, they were fighting the Antichrist, and they decided to make a treaty. Not saying that Putin is the Antichrist, and that also during this time, that the United States would get invaded by, like, China. They even said Japan and listed all these other countries. It was like 12 other countries. All of this was put out at least before 2007 and 2008. And I was wondering, without you getting in trouble, Mr. Bannoun, was it Bible prophecy that you came to this understanding that Russia might invade Germany, or is this actual human intel? And I've had some other conversations with other people on the subject since it kind of came up since the information was dropped a couple weeks ago and how you weren't able to come on the air, but kind of been waiting for this information and how legitimate it seems like it might play out.
All right. Steve, your response, if any, sir.
Yes. One, I'd love for to be able to, if you can give the information to John so he can relay it back to me about being able to follow up on that. But actually, no, the information, this was the analysis through the computer system, the AI technology, and what they anticipate that was being briefed to the Joint Chiefs of Russia's move. And initially, though, of course, they didn't speak. They weren't looking at invasion, but I could see where it could be followed up with an invasion. They were actually believing that it could be the first nuclear weapon that would be used. Part of that has to do with the fact that...
Hold on a second. We had topped our break. Steve will continue after the break. We're right back.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.